It Sucks to Be Right presents A Tara Buster with comedian Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Recorded live at FYNation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Hello, everybody. I hear an echo, Thomas. What's going on?
It's probably Skype, so just bear with it, and it should be fine.
Do you hear that echo?
I don't hear it, so it's probably
Skype. Okay, good. Well, as long as, I mean, it's annoying to me, because I hear my voice reverbing back, so hopefully it'll die out. Anyway, this is Tara Devlin. Merry Saturnalia. I'm really about the originalism of Christmas, so I go right back to, straight to the Roman era. That's where it comes from. You know, Saturnalia is where, that's what Christmas turned into. So that's where we celebrate the holidays. In fact, Saturnalia, because that's what happens. Any up and coming religion or just any power structure, a lot of times they take the traditions of an older power structure, and Christmas has a very interesting history, as we know, where in fact it was outlawed in the United States. The Puritans outlawed it because of its original traditions of being a time of indulgence. So that's what the Romans used it as there was a time where the slaves and the masters would swap clothes. People would draw lots to see who was the boss of the house. And there was a lot of feasting and celebrating. And that's nothing new, because all around the world, human beings in these cold winter months would come up with ways to get through. Like the Scandinavians had the Yule, and now we have Christmas. And there's so happy war on Christmas. I guess I really wish, frankly, I wish that Republicans were Christians, to tell you the truth. I do, but they're the hypocrites that Jesus actually warned us about. And you know that if Jesus Christ actually came back, like they say he's going to, these conservative Christians would crucify him again, as you know. But we'll get to that on Easter. As of today, so this is Christmas Eve, if you're listening live on FYI Nation. If this is Progressive Voices, this will be Christmas Day. And then anytime on the Progressive Voices app, if they don't disappear our links, we'll be good. But so thanks for joining me. I'm here. I figured, hey, what the hell? We're going to do a show. There's never a shortage of Republican dirty tricks. I was thinking about that today. My website, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. It's sort of like, I hope, wouldn't it be great if I sat down one day at the computer and nobody had anything that they could think of? They couldn't think of a goddamn thing to write. I'm sorry, I shouldn't curse on Christmas. They couldn't think of a thing to write. There were no Republican dirty tricks, but there's never a shortage. So I think that we're in for a lot of hard days and interesting days. So if anything, this Christmas, get close to your family. We really have to get through this together. So I put a countdown on RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. As of today, there are 1,121 days left until Trump is, until the 2020 inaugural. Hopefully it won't be Trump. I'm being optimistic about that, but we don't know what's going to happen, because Trump is such an authoritarian. He's a fascist. He is a thin-skinned narcissist who does not know how to control himself. He cannot constrain himself. He doesn't have the emotional maturity, the intellectual maturity, the spiritual maturity required to have such immense power, the power of life and death. I think about this. This is frightening. So when you think about Christmas, my God, I really wish Jesus, if Jesus was coming back, now's the time. Get your ass back. Get your ass down here because we're in trouble. So I think it's great that none of these artists want to perform at the inaugural. Any kind of shunning, any kind of public shunning and vilification, this has to be constant. We should be more concerned if that stopped, to tell you the truth. Because people are like, oh, when Mike Pence went to see Hamilton and people booed. God help us if the booing ever stops. And the same thing with Ivanka Trump on JetBlue. Oh, leave her alone. No, we should not leave her alone. And that's my opinion. I don't know. I'd like maybe somebody can write me, tweet me, let me know their opinion. I don't.
Would you like me to give out the phone number?
Sure.
810-479. Let me make sure I give out the right phone number as I do that.
Please, that'd
be helpful.
Be helpful. 810-479-4394.
810-479-4394. And FYI Nation via Skype. And just remember, you need to add us first as a contact on Skype if you're going to call. And if you're on Progressive Voices listening, leave a voicemail and let Tara know that you want to be heard for the next upcoming show. And maybe she'll comment and it's all up to her. And
yeah, her, I'll hear it,
know?
Anyway, no matter
either,
what you,
either
you
way,
write
sure.
And say you suck. Or if you write and say, I'm an incredibly attractive hot model type, and I have a lot of money, and I'd like to become your sugar mama. So, something like that. I'll definitely get a hold of it. So, I'm only kidding. I mean, whatever. Am I kidding? Maybe I'm not.
I don't think you're kidding.
Maybe somewhere in there, I'm not kidding.
I don't think you're kidding. You wouldn't have
guessed. So... I just love, okay, let's get back to these freaking Republicans. So we only have an hour, and it goes by really fast. That's one thing. When I prepare for this show, this is how I know I'm supposed to be doing this show. It's perfect for me. I don't have to leave my house, which is good. Sometimes I don't want to leave my house, because it's, I don't want to go with the hell out there. You don't know what the hell is out there. Trump is out there. I live in the town where Trump lives. I live here with this fascist bastard, and I don't want to run into this goon in the streets. And I have to restrain myself because I do tweet him. I call him a monster. I just wonder when I'm going to get audited, frankly. I know that this is a person that the thing, if you go through Trump's Twitter line, I don't know if he's deleted these, but back before and when he started to run for this, you know, for the presidency, this guy would retweet tweets from people that had like 3 followers, like the clearly people that were people who lived in their basement, you know, like these shut-in types, morons, conspiracy theorists, white supremacists with the real fringes, the pimple on the ass of the internet, he would retweet these people's tweets to him as long as they were complimentary. And so you know that he reads everything. So I tweet him and I call him a fascist monster, unfit to hold a leadership position in a modern nation. So I know he reads it, but so far he's yet to block or do anything. Who knows what the hell is happening? Maybe something is happening behind the scenes. There must be some enemies list. And they could get me. They could squash me like a bug. And they could come after me, sue me, whatever. That's what they will do. And that's what Republicans are gearing up to do, in fact. This is like what they did to Gawker, when the guy didn't like Gawker. I mean, not that I agree with Gawker releasing the sex tape of, you know, whatever. That's a whole other story. But the fact that a billionaire can get a bug up his ass about a website and then go after it and take it down So we won't be posting any sex tapes on RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, that's for sure. But there are videos, well, not videos, there are pictures of Trump's wife, of Melania, the first lady of the United States, nude photos. I mean, could you imagine if Michelle Obama, it's just, that is we know that there are different rules for Republicans. There are just different rules for them. They can get away with anything, it seems. And hopefully they won't be killing us all. But the level of hypocrisy that they get away with is astonishing. Now, you talk about the war on Christmas. That's a construct, of course, that Republicans use to divide people. Now, if they were true leaders who wanted to cultivate democracy, they would be talking about our diversity, how they would encourage people to have understanding and cultural exchanges and things like that. We say happy holidays there, and they consider that an attack on their religion. Now what the hell do they stand for? They're screaming, say Merry Christmas at people when they're about to kick millions of people off their health insurance. So everything is a big show. You know, Jesus was a socialist liberal. So never forget that we are on the right side of history. We are on the right side of morality. We are capable of living in a democratic system with diverse people. And it is the height of insecurity that if somebody's culture is such a threat to yours. So if somebody has a different celebration, let's say, or a different way that they celebrate the holidays, or Yule, or Saturnalia, or the solstice, and you just can't deal with it. That's your own crap. That is your insecurities, because obviously you feel that your religion is just so damn fragile that it can't hold up when it's weighed equally against others, which is pretty sad. You must have a pretty damn weak religion, and if you must inflict it. What the hell is that?
That wasn't me. I don't know what that was.
I have a lot of web pages open, and something just like went off or something. Because I have my these different websites open in preparation of accessing them during the show. But
hey, Tara does show prep. That's the important thing.
That's true. I don't just sit here. I can if I could just talk, honestly. It's just, I hope it doesn't suck, frankly. I hope people enjoy it. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I want people to, you know, want to come to this little meetup that we're having every Saturday night. And
Tara, you don't suck, because right now we in the chat, you have VT, you have Truman Town, you have Heather, you have Bean Potts. You have some people in the chat, so and I'm sure you'll get more and this is Christmas Eve, so we have an extended family here at FYI Nation.
Exactly, and that's what I'm hoping
voices.
That
so
we build up.
We will, and it takes time.
No, I know. Okay,
I'm just giving you a pep talk. I'm giving you a pep talk.
I'm fine. I'm really fine. But I just, what was I saying? Who the hell knows? Okay. So in my prep, I was saying, what am I going to talk about tonight? Because there's just never at a loss. Now, and what I'm seeing, first of all, I'm so frightened, to tell you the truth. I'm not frightened like a Republican, because they're just frightened. That's their baseline. there. I'm not a coward like a Republican who is just so afraid of everything that they have to. Like, clearly, the Donald Trump is, he's a coward. He's a narcissist. He's like an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I don't know what the hell is wrong with that person, but, and the people that put him into power, they share that, you know, they share his insecurities. But what they're talking about is peace through strength. This is what I wanted to say, because doesn't it feel like we're just reliving the worst aspects of things that we have already fought? We already had these fights about Social Security and Medicare. We already had I feel like, here we go, Cold War Part 2, possibly Hot War. Now we have this narcissist. And if you watch Morning Joe, which I do, I don't know why I can't. Sometimes I really just can't, because I cannot stand either of them. Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, she's like a battered spouse. He is just a squinty, arrogant, everything that is wrong with the media elite, frankly. Him sitting there in his ivory tower, lecturing us on, pick a topic, the dignity of work, and it's so offensive to me. Talking about war, this guy has never been to war. I love that Republicans just love war. They can never get enough of war. And now that's a Reagan thing, of course, peace through strength, where now if you go through Donald Trump's speeches, and it's not just Donald Trump, but this is a Republican Party line, that the military is just a disaster. It's just been decimated under President Obama, which is a lie. It's not true. Now, how is a military decimated under a president when we spend more on the military than the next largest 8 countries' militaries combined? More than China, more than Russia, more than France, the UK, Germany, Saudi Arabia. What? How much peace, how much strength do these people need to feel secure? The ironic thing is that everything is like a bizarro world. Everything is opposite. So when they're talking about strength, everything that they consider strength is weakness, is actually weakness. It is not strong to cower and to arm yourself to not just to the teeth, to beyond capacity. This is like a hoarder that just can't get enough newspapers in their home. They can't get enough of some crap. They can't throw something away. They're just hoarding. It's like these freaks with their money. They can't get enough money. How much? Billions. These people, they don't care if people are starving in the streets, if they're making 16 cents a day in some shitty factory. Oh, I'm sorry, I cursed again. In some deplorable factory. They don't care. How much money are they going to hoard? And when you can't take it with you, right? But they don't care. They love Jesus, though, right? They love Jesus. But, you know, it's all just it's a scam to keep people. Look, Jesus for us, right? And the earthly riches for them. So we get the heavenly rewards. They'll take care of the earthly rewards in the meantime. But so they work and they live in this bizarro world. So they're talking about strength, and he talks about torturing people. Oh, we got to be strong. We got to be strong. And that's what he's saying when they talk about, do you believe in waterboarding? Are you bringing back water? I mean, to even p- pose that question. Think about it. Do you believe in water? What do you mean? What's there to believe? That is torture. We actually prosecuted other countries for doing that form of torture on our own soldiers. And it doesn't work. Torture doesn't work. And how much more evidence do we need to know that torture doesn't work? In fact, it gives you intelligence that is damaging. So last week, I was on a tangent, and I was talking about, I never got to the point. Now, after the show was over, I remembered, oh my God, that's what I wanted to talk about. But I brought it up, and then this is what happens to me, because I go down a road, and then whatever, we go down all these different paths, and I never get to the goddamn point. But I was talking about, because they love torture, and that is degrading. It's sort of like they, you know, the death penalty. I get it. I understand why you would want to kill somebody, because I'm somebody filled with rage and anger, so I get it. But as a collective community, I think that as a society, we have an obligation to try to bring out the best in each other and not cultivate the worst. So the death penalty as a society to, yeah, there are some people that are disgusting and have committed heinous crimes, and I would want to kill them myself, but I don't think as a society we should be doing that, because it sort of turns society into the very monsters we're supposedly trying to eradicate. So that's just too high-minded for them, I guess. They don't get that. So I don't know. They would rather appeal to the base level and live in this denial. They profit off of cultivating the worst aspects of the human condition. So they talk about torture being strong, and there are so many instances. And what came to mind was during the Black Plague in the 1300s, what happened was the plague was spreading around Europe, and there was a rumor that the plague, they didn't know what the plague was, because these were good Christian conservatives, you know. So they're not allowed to know they think it's from Jesus, you know, Jesus. They did something wrong. Somebody had gay sex, I guess. So that was as good as they could get. That was their science, which is what we're going back to. But because they didn't know, so, you know, they figured somebody sinned or something, but they blamed it on the Jews, of course, right? It was Jewish people that were poisoning the wells. And they took some people and they interrogated them under torture. And they, you know, broke them on the wheel. They racked them. They did the most heinous torture on these people. And they confessed to poisoning the wells, which was completely nonsense. In writing, they confessed. And this triggered a genocide against the Jews across Europe. And before, in towns that weren't even afflicted with the plague at the time. So you know what I mean? So these towns didn't even have the plague yet. It didn't come to them yet. And they did this. They committed mass genocide to stop this supposed poisoning of the wells that they had a confession. And see, they had it right in writing, because they had tortured people. And what happened, ironically, or whatever, maybe God was pissed. The towns that had tortured and killed all the Jews had. Then the plague came and, you know, killed a lot of people. So it just never goes well. And if you go online now and you Google the Black Plague, Jewish poisoning wells or whatever, you will find, which is actually, I did this today just to check myself. And this rumor is still going around in the right wing. There are still websites that think that Jewish people poison the wells and spread the plague. Now, I mean, of course, these are sites like Stormfront, but there are other sites that are referencing this as, did this happen? So, this is what we're dealing with. And we, as liberals, as normal people, we know the lessons of history, and we know how to heed them. We know how to heed science, and we don't afflict our manias and inflict our manias on other people. And we wouldn't do that to, I mean, it's just so, it's so, when you look back in history, you're never looking at these things that conservatives do with pride, honestly. It's sort of like, wow, can you believe that we did that? So I think we're going into a break. Am I right,
Tom? Yes, you got about a minute away from a break.
Oh, but, well, you gave me 3 minutes, so I...
We're headed towards a break, yes.
All right. Anyway, see how the flow just goes to a dead stop?
Well, I'm like an old Republican. I ruin everything. So at least I'm consistent.
True.
Back to my old Republican dirty tricks.
Right.
And everything. Right. Merry Christmas.
Whatever. Happy Saturnalia. So, all right. Well, can we go into a break now and just do it? Because
sure, you're the boss. You're the boss. Let's do a break.
Obviously, and I don't want to sit. I don't want to start something and then.
We'll do a break now and we'll be right back. And this is, the Tara Buster with Tara Devlin.
It sucks to be right. Tara Buster is for mature audiences live on FYINation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Honey, I'm home. Oh, hey, our pictures are developed.
That's great. Let me see. Wait, who are those people?
Excuse me, what do you mean, those people? They're our new African-American friends.
What do you mean?
Remember, dear, we use the Insta-Blacket camera.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
These morons yesterday, they faked up these photos right away.
The Insta-Blacket camera from Koblack gives you the ability to show everyone you have ethnic supporters. Your friends will be amazed at how diversified your snapshots have become. Add Mexicans, Muslims, gay people, or African Americans to any photo.
Dynamite.
Just point, shoot, and rid yourself of people accusing you of bigotry with the Koblack Insta-Blacket. And besides diverse, the pictures are sharp, with resolution as high as 16 megahuxtables.
Do you remember the times that we lied?
The Koblack Insta-Blacket camera. A picture is worth 1,000 votes.
He's going to build a wall.
Meet Skeeter.
And make the Mexicans pay for it.
Who used to suffer from Obama derangement syndrome.
He's totally self-funded.
But thanks to
you,
now suffers from Trump derangement syndrome.
He's going to keep all the Muslims out.
Although he has lost his irrational fear of Obama.
That guy was on a plane doing terrorist math.
He has supplanted it with irrational support of Trump.
He's going to keep all the Transformers out of the ladies' room.
And once again, you can help.
He is not racist.
By giving to the Trump derangement syndrome foundation.
He just can't help it that racists really like him a lot.
Simply log on and give what you can to our Go F*** Yourself campaign.
He's gonna make America great again.
Try to help Skeeter if you can.
I respect your opinion and I'm gonna beat the crap out of you.
America thanks you.
It sucks to be right. Tara Buster is for mature audiences live on FYINation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Christmas Eve, or Saturnalia Eve, on the Tara Buster. If you're listening on Progressive Voices, Merry Christmas. Oh, my God. See, I said it. It's insane. And that's quite sort of like being on defense with Republicans. They constantly define the narrative. So now they say, oh, there's a war on Christmas. And get ready for more of that kind of baloney when they're going to, because now that they have power, they can't talk about what's really going on. They're going to have to just blow up all their phony social wars nonsense, their war on Christmas. And what is a war on Christmas? I mean, what? I don't know. I don't see. Christians are only like 88% of the population. So, but in order to have, in order to keep us divided, they have to drum up all these phony things that pit us against each other, because they can't afford to have democracy really breaking out. They can't afford to have us unified. They can't afford to have us together, black, white, all races and demographics. And it's not even race. There's only one race, human race. There is only one race. And there may be different genes for different, you know, darker skin, lighter eyes, lighter hair, darker hair. But there is only one human race. So I'm just correcting myself there. But I think about Republicans and, you know, I get very upset. But that's why I have a blog, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. And it's building up. I hope if anybody wants to write for it, or they have the desire and they're, I'm trying to make this blog into like a real thing. We have writers now that are contributing. We need more. We need it to be fresh constantly. Of course, everything has to grow organically. So, but if you are a writer and want to join us, send us a line. Send me a line. Contact me. Anyway, and I mean, think about Republicans. Lee Atwater, right? I'm just looking at my notes because I was, what really scares me is this whole piece through strength. I saw Kellyanne Conway on Rachel Maddow's show the other day. First of all, the way that she's talking, she talks very low key, very restrained, she cannot be offensive to her Republican minions, her masters, because in order to be a Republican woman, you have to fit a certain mold. You can't be too strong, too assertive, too threatening to them, because they're very threatened, apparently. Their maleness or whatever they think is very threatened. So you have to be a little weak. So she has to sit there and be very, very demure, and she cannot, her voice has to be really measured. And Rachel Maddow, who I love just the fact that there's this butch lesbian on everybody's TV or whatever. Says we certainly have come a long way. But the thing that she just repeats herself constantly. I know I'm annoying in a lot of ways. And I'm sure I have a lot of things that I do that annoy people, and I apologize, but she just says the same thing over and over the same way, like her every sentence. That show could be 20 minutes long. Anyway, now that I mentioned it, you're going to notice it. But I love Rachel. I wish she would stop repeating herself. I'm like, I get it. So, but the everything that Republicans talk about, they talk about peace through strength when they're really talking about weakness. How weak is it to have to arm yourself to the teeth with so many weapons to destroy the earth hundreds of times over? When will you be safe? So Donald Trump is going around, and not just Donald Trump, but all the Republicans. That's how you know what's coming, because their new thing is how the military is a disaster. It's been decimated. So there obviously what's coming is another, and he's already signaled this, is that they're going to just build up the mil. It's more weapons, more nukes, more. It's another arms race. And how much is enough? How many times are we going to be able to blow up the earth until they feel safe? These frightened people. See, in order to function in democracy, in a free kind of system that they pretend to love, you have to have a certain level of, you know, you have to have courage. You have to have strength. You have to have the courage to be able to, you know, look inside yourself and to confront your prejudices and to be able to compromise with other people, to want to function in democracy. And they don't want a functioning democracy. So let's just get that out. And this, we have been under attack from the perfect storm of all different, from all sides too. And the Democratic Party doesn't get out of this either, because they helped. They enabled this. They are like, you know, the Vichy French. That allowed that, how, I mean, because what we need now is the Democratic Party to fight. We need them to stand up and constantly remind the American people that this fascist bastard not only is a fascist, we cannot normalize him, but that he's an illegitimate president. He did not win a mandate, a landslide, whatever else he likes to say. He lost by the largest margin in modern American history, right? He lost more than John McCain lost, and now he's the president. How many, nearly 3 million more people voted against him? And nobody, and even those people that voted for him, nobody voted for the things that he's talking about. They didn't vote for him to come in and start privatizing Social Security and Medicare, these good Christians. But the Democrats need to fight like they are on the right side of history, because nobody cares about, you know, bipartisanship. This is one thing that would annoy me about President Obama. Not one thing, one of many things. Because he was always like, oh, Americans voted for, you know, what would he say? That they voted for the, that we would work together. Nobody, that's not, did you vote for Republicans and Democrats to work together? No, we voted for things to get done. But not things. See, that's the not just any things, not just things. Let's get it like what President Obama says. Oh, I want to help Donald Trump be successful. What in his eyes, what is successful? That he builds up the gives us more nukes. That he destroys the EPA, that he deregulates everything, that he destroys the healthcare system, that's his version of success. That, what is his definition of success? That millions of people don't have healthcare, that we don't have Medicare anymore. I mean, come on. No, we don't want him to be successful. We need to fight him. He shouldn't even be in the office, as far as I'm concerned. And then how are we allowing this Putin puppet, this authoritarian, this person with so many conflicts of interest to take the oath, and that's it. He's going to be the president. Donald Trump, like Hillary said, is going to be our president. Oh, well, good for you, Hillary, but, you know, she should be out there, too. I don't care. They don't want to be called sore losers. We didn't lose. We did not lose. Donald Trump is not my president. I will never consider him my president. He is not my president. My president is not somebody that comes down an elevator and says, Mexicans are bringing guns, they're rapists, they're... I assume some of them are nice people. That's what I say about Republicans. I guess some of them are nice people. But others are inherently racist, I suppose, that they don't care that their president is a serial sexual assaulter. And the guy who wrote his autobiography, or not his autobiography, but I'm just trying to find it. The Art of the Deal?
The Art of the Deal, yep.
He wrote that he was afraid that if Donald Trump, that Donald Trump was going to kill us all. This is before the election. He said, I'm trying to find it because I had it saved. It says, Tony Schwartz helped create the myth and regrets it. And let me just find this section that, because it's just, he's, Tony Schwartz goes, this is from an article from Bloomberg. Tony Schwartz, ghostwriter of Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, recently issued a dire warning about the man he worked for. Quote, I genuinely believe that if Trump wins and gets the nuclear codes, there is an excellent possibility it will lead to the end of civilization. Okay? Let that sink in. So, why are we allowing this to happen? This guy is not fit for office. And just, how do we know he's not fit? Look at everything he's doing. Look at his actions. And look at who he's surrounding himself with. And look at the Republicans just allowing this to happen. So I have been saying for the longest time, we should thank Donald Trump in a lot of ways for lifting the cover off of the Republican Party and exposing them for who they are, because they're fascists, they're racist, they're greedy sociopaths. They don't believe in democracy. They're anti-American. They are the agents of oligarchy that are dragging us back to the very system our founders fought a revolution to escape. Okay? So everything that they talk about, that they're so patriotic. We are patriotic. Liberals are the patriots. Never forget that. Because they have claimed the mantle of patriotism. They have claimed the mantle of godliness illegitimately. And they've done it masterfully. And Democrats have, because we're just so nice, we just acquiesce. We don't fight back. We don't charge back. Except now, so, you know, you see when Bernie Sanders gets up there, he doesn't mince words with them. And the people respond to that. We respond to somebody with a spine. That's the thing with Hillary. Like, she didn't know where the hell she stood. So, and in a lot of ways, it was the Democratic Party that brought us here. They allowed this to happen. Donald Trump is not the disease. He's a symptom of the disease. This is the critical. We're in critical care right now. This is the ICU. If we don't get through this, we don't break this fever, then we are dead. This democracy is over. Look what they have done in North Carolina. They have usurped democracy in North Carolina. And if you don't think that that is the test case, that's the trial balloon to take their agenda, their power-grabbing agenda nationally, then you haven't been paying attention. And the Democratic Party, we need to be bombarding them. We the people, because they're not going to do anything if nobody says anything. We need to be in the streets. We need to be at their offices. We need to be confronting them. We need to be calling them every single day and telling them to fight these fascists. For one thing, what should happen the day that they get gaveled in is that plan, I don't know, somebody wrote about it, that Biden can, in the first 5 minutes, the first order of business can they could take a vote on all the obstructed justices that the Republicans wouldn't allow through, and including Merrick Garland. And it doesn't even have to be Merrick Garland. It could be the most liberal socialist judge you ever saw. And they could just gavel him in or take a vote, like, quickly and do it. And you know for a fact that Republicans would do that. The Republicans stole that Supreme Court seat, and they should not be allowed to get away with it, frankly. I mean, come on, Democrats. We're on the right side of history. Stop acting like you're like timid sheeps to the slaughter. It's ridiculous. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot and Hillary won the election, squeaked by electorally, and Donald Trump overwhelmed the popular vote, this country would be in a civil war right now. There would be eruptions in the streets. I mean, obviously, people did protest in the streets. That stopped, though. We should be out there every day. We should be at this. I mean, it should not stop. This guy is illegitimate, and the Democrats should constantly drive that home, starting with, and also, you know, bringing a gun to a gun battle. Don't just bring one gun, bring them all. Bring all the guns to the goddamn gun battle. Enough is enough, Democrats, because it's over if we don't fight. They are destroying democracy. They just, as far as North Carolina is concerned, there was an assessment, according to the Electoral Integrity Project, saying that North Carolina should no longer be classified as a fully functioning democracy. It's more on the line of Cuba. Okay, so I'm reading this from the Huffington Post. They said, let's see. North Carolina politics have been messy, to say the least, capping off a year of power struggles. Messy, to say the least. Are you insane? Messy? They don't know what words to describe it. The unprecedented anti-democratic assaults on the system our founders fought a revolution to create. I'm at a loss here. It says the report points to three main flaws in North Carolina's political system: extreme gerrymandering, voter suppression of black and brown residents, and the usurpation of the incoming governor's, Governor Roy Cooper's power through hasty legislation. Now, what is more fascist than wrapping your illegitimate power around the veneer of legality? Of hastily constructed laws. Everything that the Nazis did were legal. It was legal. Everything had a law. All their race laws, their genocide, everything was just going by the book. So this is, here we go. This is another example that Republicans don't want democracy, and they're gonna try get this through everybody's heads. I'm sorry, it's Christmas Eve, but we're gonna wait. It doesn't matter. Yeah, everybody wants to take a break, but there's no breaks in fascism. I'm sorry. There's no breaks. There's no days off, because every day they are making it worse. We are going into the woods deeper and deeper, and we're going to have a long slog out if we don't stop them at every turn. We have to stop them. They can't get away with it. They cannot be allowed to get away with it, and they need to be illegitimized every step of the way. We're going to be digging ourselves out of this hole if we get through it, because now they talk about strength and what they are they're just weak. What is weaker than being in bed with big oil? What is weaker than just sacrificing the planet, life on the planet, for greed, for short-term gain? There is nothing weaker than sacrificing your fellow human beings and other creatures on the planet because you want to make a little bit more money before you step off this mortal coil. Because you're a freaking selfish, ugly person on the inside who is hateful, who does not care about anything but yourself. How is that? I mean, what is going on here? Why is greed and why is profit, the profit of a few, the only American value? Now, that's why, I mean, this whole thing, this Christmas, this war on Christmas, I wish they were Christians. I keep saying it because we need them. We need the real Christians. Because if they were Christians, if these freaking fake phony Republicans really were Christians, we wouldn't be arguing about universal health care. We'd have it. They wouldn't be shouting let them die when confronted with a question what to do with a uninsured person in critical care. Let them die. Who the hell, what is wrong with these people? They're not Christians. What did Jesus say? Go visit people in prison, feed the poor, give up all your possessions and follow me. What you do to the least among me, you do to me, right? I mean, the least among us are the vulnerable people, the people who need a hand. And we're in this together. That's why we are the moral, we are the real Christian. I'm not a Christian, but, you know, you want to talk about, I'm more of a Christian than they are. And that's the truth. Because I would not yell, let them die, when confronted with the question what to do with somebody in critical care without health insurance. I mean, these freaks. They are not patriotic in the least. You can't call yourself a patriot and you destroy everything that this country is supposed to be founded on. And that's why they have to change the definitions of what we're founded on. They have to say, oh, we were founded on rugged individualism. No, we weren't. You know, our founders pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to each other, not to themselves. They didn't say, we're going to ride these suckers to the bank. We are escaping an intergenerational aristocracy, so we can create one here in the United States. No, that's not what happened. They escaped an intergenerational aristocracy, a monarchy, that was intertwined with the church for hundreds of years, for thousands of years. And they, as students of the liberal age of enlightenment, we had this crazy liberal idea that we the people can have a government that could promote the general welfare without having to wait for the king, for the good graces of the king to trickle on us. You wouldn't have to be born into wealth. You could, everybody had, you know, that's what the general welfare is all about. That one of the highlights of Thomas Jefferson's life was creating a free university, because education, that was the dream that they had. We could have a democracy, a functioning, democratic republic. Oh my God. Yes, with all its flaws, you know. And then, you know, I brought up Lee Atwater before. I think about that because he's somebody who He was Karl Rove's mentor. He is credited with coming up with all the Republican dirty tricks. He's a dirty trickster. And the way that he attacked his opponent, and he died young of a brain tumor. And when he was diagnosed with this brain tumor, because he saw his mortality, I guess his life was flashing before his eyes, he, on his deathbed, famously made all these apologies. He called all the people that he had harmed and begged forgiveness. And I thought, you know, when I learned about this originally, I thought, why is it that Republicans are constantly, you never hear of a liberal having to beg forgiveness on their deathbed for having harmed the American political system. You know, we're not begging forgiveness. We're begging forgiveness that we couldn't go far enough, that we couldn't help enough people. Because we don't leave people behind. That's what patriotism is to me. We don't leave anybody behind. I know we're in this together, you know, and this guy, Karl Rove's mentor, but, you know, I'm just looking at this quote. Lee Atwater said, "My illness helped me see that what was missing in society is what was missing in me, a little heart and a lot of brotherhood." So, you know, tellingly, Republicans, they follow Atwater's advice when it comes to being evil. They still follow that advice. But they part ways with him when he saw the light, when he saw the error of his ways. They don't take that advice. But that is the truth. And so what is this season? What is going, you know, what are we doing as we get together with our family, as we celebrate the holidays, whatever holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, the season of giving? You know, ironically, it's not ironic. The way that nature created humanity is that when we give something, when we give a gift, we get the same chemicals, the same good oxytocin, positive chemicals released in our brain that as if we received something. So to give is the same as receiving. That is the way God, the goddess of nature, programmed us. To be together, we are in this together. So that's not an accident. That's not an accident. That's a program that was installed in our species, because together we may be, alone we may be able to survive, but together we thrive. We can do amazing things together. We can provide a decent middle class life to people and a decent, humane healthcare system that leaves no one behind, that people can have a nice life and with a little bit of community, art, culture, love, life, and retire in dignity and security until they step off this mortal coil. I mean, that's what I like. I would like to see that happen before I die. And I hear the music, so thank you, everybody, for joining me. This is Tara Devlin. Back Saturday night. Time for us to watch this. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you. Together, we win.